Hey folks, Phil Williams here. I want to remind you that Inspire Advisors is one of our sponsors and they are doing amazing work. Look, I know this audience. You're the kind of folks who believe in standing up for your principles. You're good stewards of your resources. But what if the companies you were investing in don't reflect your values at all? Well, that's why you need to meet Paul Breyer and his team at Inspire Advisors. Because Inspire Advisors, they are experts in the field of biblically responsible investing. They can help you grow your bottom line while also be proud of what companies you're investing in. Inspire Advisors, check them out. Their website, www.moneypatternwealth.com, and tell them you heard about it on Right Side Radio.
Welcome back to Right Side Radio. I'm Allison Sinclair with Amy Beth Shaver and the JP. JJ.
Actually, JP.
The guy that does the intro kind of says JP. And he didn't even know. He does.
JP.
You'll listen to it next time. So one of the things that we talked about in the montage or that you played was about, well, we have a few things. We have Sean Duffy talking about illegals being, no, that was Stephen Miller. Now they're confused.
The rent control was Stephen Miller.
Yes.
And the CDLs was Duffy.
Okay. Mm-hmm. What is going on? And this is kind of, I bring this back to the RAISE Act that Alabama enacted last session. All of our resources from the federal level to the state level, and it seems to the local level, are going to further the education, the living standards of people that are here illegally and that aren't even American citizens.
Yeah.
And half of America on the left is okay with that. It's the most bizarre thing. And Matt Walsh has he's been talking a lot about, I'm not just America first, I'm America only. And mm-hmm. he went on to say in one of his little segments, just like I am my family first, I will, if there's a million people that are engulfed in flames in a house fire, I'm going in to get my family first, right. Which is the way it should be. That is the way. And then from there, you reach out to your neighbors. But if you don't have your house in order, you can't properly care for other people. We don't have our house in order. We're flailing. We are drowning. And we continue to give to these people that really aren't giving back to us. They're illegal aliens. Let's just say the name. Illegal.
Yes.
They're actually undocumented citizens.
It's illegal.
No, I agree, because what is the rent control supposed to be? You know, what's the model in New York supposed to be with that? It's supposed to be the people, the American citizens who are struggling. And even though I don't agree with the rent control, that is the purpose of it, or the alleged purpose of it, is to help struggling American citizens. It's now just illegal aliens who cross the border, get flown to New York City, then they can live. They're the ones living in the rent control apartments, and the American citizens who are struggling that are actually supposed to benefit from it, they're out to dry. So even the liberals who support rent control, they're the ones getting passed over for illegal aliens. So the whole system is twisted in so many different knots. I worry it's going to get even worse with Mamdani coming in. But and even in Mamdani's speech, he listed off every foreign person that he will be a mayor for and didn't even mention American citizens. So the American citizens who are liberals, who are all for the rent control, they're the ones that are getting, you know, passed over by people who shouldn't even be here in the first place. And not only do they not add anything, they take away from us. Yeah. So
they do take away from us. And I'm wondering if any of them have stopped to consider what this will turn into for them. Will they stop to consider that this will turn decent apartments today into dumps tomorrow? Do they understand that the landlords will not be able to improve their properties because they can't? They can't keep up with cost of living. They can't. So all they want to do is maintain and get some sort of payoff from what they own. And so not only are they not improving their properties, not only are they not allowed to improve and raise their rent to keep up, they have people in line behind the people who will just leave, so they have no incentive to improve what they own. And the only people who benefit from rent-controlled properties are the very people that liberals claim to hate, the wealthy. Mm-hmm. The wealthy are the only ones who have homes built for them in rent-controlled cities. That's all. So I find it ironic that these people are like, yes, we want rent control. That sounds great. And then they don't stop to think that their jealousy, their envy, their malcontent basic nature looking at life.
Tired of juggling sales tools or spending hours on prospecting just to book a few meetings? Meet Apollo, the go-to-market platform for finding leads, connecting with buyers, and closing deals, all in one place. Apollo gives you access to over 210 million contacts and AI that handles all your busy work, finding leads, drafting emails, and even prioritizing your day. So stop paying for five different sales tools when one does it all. Visit apollo.io and sign up free today.
Is going to bite them on their own butts eventually, because nobody's going to want to live in New York. Nobody's going to want to live in LA and anywhere else if they've decided. I mean, I didn't know that it's a rent control, like it's a city commission that meets yearly to decide how much, based on a guesstimate, they'll increase the rent that year. Or they'll say, well, you can only have it this much. It reminds me of big insurance. Big insurance decides for everybody else how it's going to go, and the rest of us are on the losing end of that. And it's the same thing with rent controlled. Random people meet to make a random decision, and regular people, the American people, are getting squeezed. I wonder how long it's going to take with Mom Donnie and his, oh, by the way, I need more money on top of the other more money I needed last week. How long it's going to take them to go, uh-oh, we have made a massive mistake.
I think you just brought up a really good point. And it kind of goes back to, I think it was yesterday that DeSantis was in the montage of him saying, you know, just because it's legal, and we had talked about that, just because it's legal, is that really good to have 20 million Somalians here? They're legal, but is that beneficial to America? And what you just said, something about Americans, it made me wonder if, how does the left define Americans? Apparently, it is defined by if you are just on American soil. But nowhere else in the world are you treated like that. If I go to Italy, which I would love to go back, I'm not Italian. I don't get all those benefits. So why is it here that half of America treats foreigners as Americans? And they are treated better than we are. It's really this upside down world. But I guess that's the point. Mm-hmm. I think they want this upside down.
Yeah, Marxism. They want no national identity, so then you can just flood in America. America's nothing but just, you know, a place on a map. You know, you can just come and be from anywhere and not have any Western or American beliefs or values, and you're an American because you're on American soil. And that, if you can deduce America to just land, then what's worth, you know, America's not worth preserving, because what is it? It's just the dirt. It's just, you know, somewhere you can go geographically. So then that's where the Mom Donnies can come in, and everybody come on in. Everybody's American. And then America gets destroyed from within that way.
And might we just drop in this conversation and this handy dandy tale of just fraudulent activity in these rent controlled cities? You also have, just asking about this whole global citizen, do y'all remember when the church made that global citizen push probably 15 years ago? We were at a different church at that point, and all of a sudden the language changed. And I think you also have to throw in the conversation that leadership, church leadership, not all of them, but in certain denominations, the leadership started pushing this global, we're global, global, global. And you think, why are they talking about that? Obviously, this is for all the world, but we're still America. And apparently God liked borders and boundaries, so he didn't have any problem with that. Like, I'm just, like, if you read it in the Bible, I'm just asking. But I think you have to throw in there that change, that subtle change that also introduced toxic empathy into the church. So now you have people that are like, oh, but what will they do? Who will pick our cotton? Who will wash our dishes? We have to help them. They want a better life. And the leadership in some denominations also went along with this Marxism and also made it an us problem instead of a, you guys, what are you talking about? But it was so subtle. That's the other part of it. Church folks don't really feel this way. It's the leadership. If you, Meg Basham, I sent you a story for tomorrow. There's a huge dichotomy between us and them. But they're pushing this, and that entered the lexicon about 15 years ago. So not only do you have this rent-controlled issue, illegals living there, what is land, great replacement theory, and then the piece de resistance is the usual suspects that should have said, we'll help you get legal, but you're not a citizen. Now the church has made it our problem when it isn't at all. And they've made it almost a salvific issue. If you don't believe this way, you're a bad person. Who wants to be seen as bad? I think that's the other element of the conversation.
I'm thinking back to about that same time that David Platt's Radical came out, which really normalized a little bit this whole socialist idea of it's bad to have things. It's bad to have money. It's bad to have three pairs of shoes. You should only have two, you know, and you got to give it away. And God calls it, theology couldn't be worse, but it really is how this, from you talking about that 15 years ago, this is how this just crept into the church. And now it's almost the norm. It is rare to find a pastor that will speak out against these globalist ideas, which is terrifying. And we sit here and have these conversations, and I just wonder, I don't think we're too far gone, but it's going to take a lot more of us to kind of stand up and do the things. All the things.
All the things.
We need that in a button, too. All the things to save this country. I think it's worth saving. I think it's worth the time and the effort and the discussion and the uncomfortableness and potentially, we're already in the cold Civil War part.
Yeah.
I don't know how this ends, but scary stuff.
The way to combat it is the GOP as a whole realizing it's not like 2001 or the 1990s anymore. Like, the left is so bonkers crazy that if we don't match their intensity in terms of not with killing people, match their intensity with policy and realize who we're fighting and stop the infighting, realize who our real enemy is, I think that's the only way we win. Instead of, you know, snatching defeat from the jaws of victory like the Republicans love to do, we got to match their intensity with the policies they want, with the policies that we want. Because if we don't, then they're just going to come in and destroy everything.
And may I just add on as we go to break, if you're, you know, a Democrat and you're not bonkers crazy, many of you are not, then you're also going to have to stand up against your own party as well. Mm-hmm. Like, this is we're all in this war situation, this Cold War. I like the way that you put that. So we need y'all to go, excuse us, this is insane. And stand up for sensible policies. Truly. I know that sounds crazy, but I don't think it is. Because I know reasonable people who are Democrats that are pro-life Democrats. But they support all the, you know, other things. And I'm like, okay, y'all are going to have to also stand up as well. And that's a hard thing to do. That's a really hard thing to do. Because I think you're right. We've reached a tipping point.
Well, good on y'all for still having any hope in the GOP.
Oh, I
really have. No, it's waning.
I mean, mine for sure is waning, but
I mean, we don't have an option. It's the vehicle we have to use. I get it, but it's not looking like the best automobile to
good.
Arrive in. Mm-mm. Not these days. Anyway, we're going to take a break. We'll be back. And then at 3:30, we have Representative Mac Butler, who is going to join us to talk about his chemtrail bill, since we talked about that yesterday. And also, it goes along with furry art. He has a gender ideology bill that you are going to want to stay up to date and follow as well. So you're listening to Right Side Radio. We'll be right back.
Tired of juggling sales tools or spending hours on prospecting just to book a few meetings? Meet Apollo, the go-to-market platform for finding leads, connecting with buyers, and closing deals, all in one place. Apollo gives you access to over 210 million contacts and AI that handles all your busy work, finding leads, drafting emails, and even prioritizing your day. So stop paying for 5 different sales tools when one does it all. Visit apollo.io and sign up free today.